daddy's girl all the way. And there were so many things that he instilled in us. Morals, respect. He was the strongest man I know. And he will always be looking after us. And my daddy and I, over the years, we had gotten so busy in our lives. And for those of you who knew him, he was a workaholic. He always was working. And our relationship really blossomed at the beginning of this year. We became the closest we've ever been. I'll always cherish the rides in the airplane, all the motorcycle rides, and all the things that we did together. There's so many memories I could share with you, but I created a little something, and excuse me, sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. Daddy, we will always remember that special smile and that caring heart and that warm embrace. You being there for us in the good times and in the bad times, no matter what. We'll always remember you, Dad, because there will be no one ever to replace you in our hearts. The love we will always have for you. And I'll try to remember the good times and not be sad. But saying goodbye just hurts so bad. I'll miss you more than words can express. And my love for you will never grow less. I keep trying to imagine how I'm going to go on. And I realize that tomorrow is another dawn. I know you're in heaven above looking down on us with all of your love. And remember that I will never stop loving you. I'll always remember the good times we had. And remember the man, my sweet daddy. And I'll remember you each and every day. And if I need to talk to you, I'll just sit down and I'll pray. Because one day we will be together again to talk about the places we've been. Until that time, I'll always treasure the memories we made together. And the memories that you were able to share with my son, Brennan. Who loved his papa. I love you so much, Daddy. And I don't consider this as goodbye. I just see you that other time. I love you, Daddy. If you don't mind, I need to pray a moment. Your bowed heads. Father, I thank you for your presence. And I stand before you and I ask that you would help me in Jesus' name. Amen. I was introduced to Mike Lakeney more than 13 years ago now by our mutual friend Tammy Arndt, actually. Ryan was in the 8th grade. Kristen, I guess, a sophomore. And Terry was already out of the house on his own. Back then, I was looking for someone to produce my fledgling radio efforts. Tammy said Mike was the man. And he was. In the interest of full disclosure, Tammy also told me that Mike was divorced and shopping. And granted, he did come across as quite a flirt that first day. But once y'all's daddy found out that I was happily married, never once had to worry about him crossing the boundaries. Mike Blakeney was a gentleman. Mike was also a very easy man to be around.
It wasn't long before he was much, much more to me than the producer of my radio segments. He quickly became a dear friend and an adopted member of my immediate family. My husband couldn't be here today, but he loved Mike too, and he thought very highly of him. Actually, Phil asked me this morning to remind y'all to check on the people that you love more often. I thought those were wise words. Mike endeared himself to my parents and my kids. It's just who he was. It's very hard for me to even attempt to explain to you all the ways that Mike has helped me over the past 13 years. I remember Hurricane Katrina. In those early days, my church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, was sheltering 200-plus evacuees. And I was knee-deep in the church office trying to help these shell-shocked, grief-stricken people find families that was scattered all over the nation that was also looking for them at the same time. Mike flew his own plane to Lake Providence on his own dime several times in those weeks to help him to bring me to Monroe to take the radio show, because he knew that I was pedaling water fast and he was trying to do everything that he could to help. And then, of course, there is Mike's immense radio talent that he freely shared with me. Mike did his best to help me to deliver my best work week in and week out. Mike Blakeney had the perfect radio voice. And I've got this. But my friend Mike never tried to make me someone I wasn't. He never tried to polish me into something else. Now, if I totally destroyed a word, he would kindly step in with a suggestion while we were taping. But only then. Last year, after more than a dozen years of working together with my taped radio segments that go out to my various affiliates, circumstances changed in our ever-changing world of radio. And it gave Mike and I an opportunity for the first time to work together on my live radio program. I only thought I knew how skilled Mike was. Working with him in that live environment. And I said, you know, okay? Gave me a deeper appreciation of his talent. That talent, Mike, the professional radio man, is gone too soon. But it is Mike, the person and the friend, that has left such a huge void in my life as I stand before you today. If you know me very well at all, you know that I wear my faith on my sleeve. I can't help it. I don't want to help it. See, I have to talk about Jesus because he is my everything, and that hasn't always been the case. There were plenty of years of my life when I just had me a good strong dose of religion. I could out-church you, and I could quote scripture, but I didn't have a personal relationship with my sweet Jesus. And then there came a time, y'all, when I had to actually know this Jesus that I had sang songs about and heard about since I was sitting in a little bitty chair in Sunday school at Melbourne Baptist Church. God decided I had to know him. John 17:3 says that this is eternal life, to know the one true God in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And that became my mission. When I began throwing myself at Jesus, running after him with everything that is in me, everything in my life changed. Everything. Today I don't know that Jesus lives because someone told me that. Today I know because I did life with him and he does life with me. When I first began working with your dad, he was very uncomfortable when I talked so openly like this about my faith. Mike didn't want to talk about his own. He would kind of parry my questions with just enough answers to try to get me to change the subject and discourage me from more open conversation about the Lord. But in thinking about what I would say to you today, I had this sudden clarity where I began to realize that in the past few months to a year, something had changed. By the end of his life, your daddy wasn't just listening to me going on and on about Jesus. He was engaged in what I was saying. I'm not standing here telling you that he became a theologian that wanted to discuss the scriptures and leave, because he didn't. But by the end of his life, Mike's heart was soft and wide open to everything that I was saying about Jesus. That brings me great comfort. And I pray that it comforts you as well. Thank you.
Terry Michael Blakeney, Jr. And for so many years, I thought that my parents were just lazy, and they went to the hospital and said, just name Jr. Lazy. But take it as a real honor. So, very proud. You know, going on, but I just want to talk a little bit about how he made me a better person throughout my life. Wow. I didn't expect to choke up this much. I'm sorry. There's no one that was a more positive influence on my life. We didn't always see eye to eye, you know. Kids growing up, I was the oldest kid. My mother divorced. I was teenage years. a lot of rebellion, you know, a lot of resentment at times. But after the years of talking to him, they didn't understand what happened, why. You know, it's funny how you don't know the whole story. You know, you don't know what people go through, what they're going through, and what led them to the destination that they're at. And really learned to respect a lot that he went through over the years to provide for myself, my sister, my brother, my mother, his wife, with your wife. The man works so hard. It's amazing. You know, I asked him, most people know that, you know, he was morning show for years and years and years. I had some fears about, I said, man, did it ever get easier getting up at 5:30 every single morning? He said, no, never did, Terry. It was horrible. Every time. They gave me a little comfort, you know. I said, well, maybe it's not everybody, or maybe it's not just me. But he'd be there. And he'd be waking people up. You know, when he passed, a lot of people commented on Facebook. I was really honored and really proud. Because I saw and I was reminded of several people, even that I know, they got their start in radio with my dad's radio station, you know, with radio people and through my dad and my wife and I. Guy that I waited tables with in college. We were talking one day and I told him who my dad was. And he was like, hey, that's your dad. Oh man, looking to meet him one day. One way or another, I get them to shake hands and that ended up giving them a weekend gig, you know, probably running the board for 4 hours, you know, just no talking, just gave them a chance just to get in the building. He is now in Ruston, has his own radio show, doing great for himself, and I think those sort of things are a great legacy to leave on, so I'm really proud of that, really proud of that. Funny thing about your dad being on the radio and listening is, you know, he was on the radio my whole life, and I just took it for granted. You know, I would be on my way to school in the morning, I would hear him talking with Sheila Kay or Stance, whoever it was, usually Sheila Kay, and you just about forget that he's your dad talking on the radio. You know, it's really weird. But then it just kind of snapped back. I mean, the man was humorous, you know. The man was, he had a real way of bringing a personality to life on air that not necessarily wasn't him, but just such a professional, you know what I mean? Just, he brought it every day. And, so I think that's helped shape who I am. No matter what I've had going on, I've thought about that a lot of times. He brought it every day. And brought his best. I can ramble on and on. You know, one thing that my dad taught me is to stick up for myself, stand tall, and to be proud of who I am, and where I come from, and my lineage. Who I am. You know, when it comes to standing up for yourself, there's a funny story. When I was in about 11 or 12 years old, I played baseball in the summer leagues. Well, my dad thought I was the world, of course. Just like every parent thinks their kid's the best thing that's, you know, since sliced bread. That was okay, but I didn't get voted onto the all-star team that summer. Anybody knows, you might like me.
that just wasn't a good situation. All right. I promise you, there's people still that saw Adler Recreation Center that there's whispers of Mike Blaney. let him have a piece of his mind. But you know that says something, man. He believed in it. He stood up for it. He voiced his opinion. And that meant a lot. That meant a lot. You know, Dad taught me to take my licks and to do the right thing. Keep on going. You don't always do the right thing. When I was in high school, like a lot of kids, just kind of fell on a bad track for whatever reason. Didn't do good in school my senior year. I ended up leaving. I wasn't going to finish my high school career at Nipple. And so, right there at the end, too, 2 or 3 months before graduating, what an idiot I was. You know, my dad talked to me that summer, and he basically said, you know, is this it for you? You know, is this where you see yourself? Is this the man you are? I wasn't. You know, I wasn't. And he reminded me of that. And it didn't take much. You know, it was just a few questions. You know, he helped guide me, and I ended up going back to school when I'm finishing. Next year, another year of high school, so I can graduate, walk, and go on. But I wasn't going to, you know. But Mike Blakeney did the right thing for his son, stepped in and provided guidance. Really good father. You know, the other thing about my dad was that he taught me to try to have empathy for people. He talked about this a lot. Kind of circles back to what I was saying. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know where they've been, where they're going, what they've dealt with. And to show respect for everyone and do the right thing. Do right by people, and be the change, be the light in dark times. That's one of those rules that be the light, Terry, be the light. So, that's something that I've tried to do in my life. It's always going to be there as a positive light. You know, an example of this, does anybody have this card? This little card that's passed out, everybody has this in front of them somewhere. If you look in the very top right corner, you see a picture of my dad and his motorcycle helmet. Love my dad, just like everyone loves their dad. I'm gonna miss him. Glad you all are here to say goodbye. I appreciate it.
Thank you all for coming out today. I'm Captain Ryan Blakeney. Mm-hmm. My dad was sure to always, when he introduced me to people, to make sure you knew I was in the Air Force. He's very proud of that. My first memories in life was my father taking the family flying. My mother and father were sitting up front, and me and Chris and Terry were sitting in the back. And my mother looked back to us and asked me, if I wanted to come sit in her lap. I didn't say any words. I was simply shoving my brother and sister out of the way to get straight to the front so that I could sit in her lap. When I got to the front, sat in her lap, and I just looked outside, and I was just enamored by what I was looking at. I knew that we were flying. So I decided I wanted to grab the yoke and do something about that. So I reached out, grabbed the yoke, looked outside, made the executive decision to turn right. So, reached up, and I couldn't go right. I couldn't figure out what was going on. So I looked down, I looked over my dad's hand, and he had a yoke just like mine. They were connected. And he was stopping my executive decision. So, not being deterred, I tried again. And this time, we went right. I was flying for the first time. I talked to my dad about 20 years later about that memory, and he told me that he actually was letting me go right, just to let me think that I was flying. So. But he planted that seed on that day for the rest of my life to be a pilot. 10 years later, I had my very first unassisted landings at Vicksburg. I scared the hell out of him and me on my first attempt. I didn't flare long enough, and we just hit the runway like a pound of bricks. And he saved the day by a go-around, grabbed the yoke and throttle, and just took us back in the air. After we climbed up about 1,000 feet, he just said over the radio calmly, "Do you want to go home, or do you want to try again?" And I just looked over at him, and he just had that smirk on his face that he got when he was messing with you. And I said, "You already know the answer to that." So went around and brought it in and made my first landing by myself with my dad as my co-pilot on that day at 13 years old. Dad truly lived an inspirational life. He moved to Monroe with a wife, three kids, and a dog. He took what he envisioned his life to be and he made it a reality. That is one thing that he taught me that really stuck in my life. He would have just this idea in his head, and he would be able to go forward with that idea and just make anything he wanted to be exactly what he wanted. And if he wasn't happy with it, he would fix it. And Miranda, I guess I know why I don't look the instructions whenever I build things. That explains everything. When we were kids, he sat Terry down at one point and when he was a teenager and said, "Your attitude determines your altitude." Remember that, Terry? And one day, my dad, Terry, and Kristen and I were all having dinner, and Terry, my dad, said the same thing to her. And then years later, he said the same thing to me. "Dad, I can tell you that your advice works perfectly. Few true words have ever been said. Thank you for that." So here we are today, Dad. You took off too soon, and you absolutely did not have your takeoff plans. I think the tower is going to ask you to give them a call on the phone like they do when pilots do something wrong or bend the rules. Just like that one time in Georgia when they told me and you to call them after they told us the taxi straight, and we made an immediate, "Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was our little secret. Y'all don't tell anybody about that." In the Air Force, the ground crew salutes the aircraft and the air crew when they're headed out on a mission as a sign of respect. So, Dad, since you helped me get my very first clearance, I'm going to give you your last and salute you off. Tango Mike Bravo, 5-9er, you are clear to heaven as filed via direct routing. Altitude is no ceiling, understood to climb is approved. On departure, contact God via common prayer frequency, squawk 2016. I wish you smooth rides and favorable tailwinds. Godspeed, and I love you.